subject on my mind this evening, you'll find in the chapter we read. It's in a very short verse. It's the verse in brackets, in parenthesis, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That is one of the great and fundamental principles of our most holy faith. We worship an invisible God, an invisible Father, an invisible Son, and quite obviously, an invisible Holy Spirit. So, as we live the life of faith, and I trust you do live the life of faith, or will soon live the life of faith, it is not by sight that we are going to go through this life. It is by faith. It began right at the very beginning, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I was reading through this chapter in the week before I knew that I was to preach here today. And I don't know whether this happens to you, but sometimes when you're reading, when I'm reading, a verse seems to take hold of me. I may not be thinking about the rest of the chapter, but just a few words or a verse or a single word can spark off a train of thought. Well, that's what happened when I read this verse 7. And the one word that sparked off my thoughts was the word walk. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's that really that I want to just develop a little while this evening. I think if I asked you a question to begin with, do you want to go to heaven when you die? It's a very common question, I'm sure. But do you want to go to heaven when you die? And I would judge that most people would say, certainly, yes. It may be that some are so hard in their unbelief that they just say, well, I don't think about rubbish like that. I'll wait till it comes. But for most of us, surely, there is a concern. I hope it's a deepening concern. And I hope it becomes a concern that only the Lord can resolve and satisfy. Am I on the way to heaven? We walk, so we're on the way somewhere. We walk by faith, so we must have our inner spiritual eyes focused on something in the future. For the present, we don't see that. And if you remember what we read in this chapter, you know that Paul is speaking about something he couldn't see at that time. He was anticipating the wonders of the future, both after his death and particularly in the time of his resurrection. So, we need to be thoughtful and prayerful about the way we are walking. Seems to me there are three different ways in which we can read about the way to heaven. Look at Matthew 7, for instance, verse 13. This is about the beginning of the way. Enter ye in at the straight or restricted or narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and there be many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, as I was just sitting thinking, the sun was shining, and it's easy for my mind to start thinking about holidays that I used to have. And most of the holidays I used to have were walking holidays, or at least parts of the time I enjoyed spending the time walking. So again, you see the connection with my text and my thoughts. I was walking and I began to think about one of the walks I did a number of times. The first part of the walk I did a number of times. The whole walk I only did twice. The whole walk was about 9 miles, and it was over very rough country. I had to go up between two mountains on a pass, and that was narrow. The way was difficult. The second time I went, they'd altered the beginning of the path. And I'd read in a little walk book that I got that you had to look to the left, and you would see a little gate through a tall fence, a deer fence. Well, I was walking on a wide open track. The forestry people had cut a wide open track through the forest. It seemed much easier to go on the track that was wide and open. But I had to turn off that and go through the little narrow gate and find the real track, exactly as Jesus was teaching. Broad is the way that leadeth, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. So, really, I'm urging you tonight to think whether you actually are in the right way. Have you turned from the broad way to find the narrow gate, the narrow way, for that is the only way to life? So that was the first lesson that came into my mind as I was thinking about walking. I realized also that the way to heaven is described in at least two other ways. One is to be running, to run with patience the race that is set before us. So the picture is quite different. It's not a walk in the country, it's a marathon. And the other way is to fight the good fight of faith. That's a difficult way, isn't it? Because we have an enemy who will resist us every step of the way. The devil is a very active enemy. And he'll do all he can to get you to walk in the broad way and to stay there. But by the grace of God, changes can happen. You can then come to that decision that you're going to seek the narrow way that leads to life. That becomes the great concern. And so it was when I went out for this walk. It was, I say, it was the second time. The first time I was fairly young and very fit. 10 or 11 years later, I wasn't feeling quite the same. But I wanted to do the same walk again. What did you think to do before you go out for a walk? What do you normally do if you're going out for a longish walk? Not just a little stroll, but a longish walk somewhere where you haven't been before. You'd surely look at a map. Of course, I was so confident. I'd done the walk before. Yes, I'd got a map and I knew what the little book said about the walk. And so I set off very bravely and confidently. And I had to learn a lesson. Another lesson. I came to a long part on the track that was quite steep. It wasn't violently steep, but it was steep enough to make me puff a bit. And as I was a long time going up this part of the walk, I heard some voices behind me. And when I turned round, I saw it was a group of people. When they overtook me, I realized it was a group of ladies led by a very athletic lady. And they not only overtook me at great speed, but they then turned off the track and went straight up the mountainside beside me. And their last comment to me was, "Enjoy your walk." Well, I wasn't quite sure whether I was enjoying it or not by that time. And soon after that humbling experience, I mean, that was the next lesson. I was humbled by what had happened. I knew I couldn't have kept up with them, and I couldn't have climbed the mountain the way they climbed it. Perhaps that's a lesson you've got to learn. I don't know how you're feeling. Perhaps you're feeling quite confident about your Christian profession and you're going on well, and you seem to be making some progress. Well, be careful. God has ways of bringing humbling us, bringing us down. So I wasn't all that encouraged by what had happened. And the thought then came to me that the path was getting more and more steep, and I was getting more and more tired. Perhaps I ought to turn back. I was tempted, literally tempted, to just turn back and go back the way I'd come. I wonder what stopped me from doing that. I think it must have been personal pride. I was determined not to give in. The way to heaven is often very steep and difficult, and there can be real temptations just to turn back and give it all up. But Jesus tells us, "They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Well, I didn't think of that verse at that particular time in my walk. I'm not claiming to be that spiritual. But there was something in me that said, "No, you must carry on. That's it. What you said you were going to do, you must do it." And so I carried on. Eventually, I got to the top of the pass. It wasn't the top of the mountain, that was beside me. Well, it was beside me on both sides of me, really. But I got to the top of the pass and stood there. And so often it happened like this on these walks, that I was amazed by the view. I'd been struggling up the hill, just seeing the path and the hills on either side of me, the mountains on either side of me, and I came over the top of the pass, and there was an open piece of countryside, and I could see ranges of mountains, the Torridon Mountains ahead. And then in the far distance there was the Isle of Skye and the Coolin Mountains at the south end of the Isle of Skye. And well, for a little while I stood there getting my breath back and thinking, what a wonderful sight this is. But, and this is the lesson, blessings in this life are temporary. I couldn't stay there. Obviously, I couldn't stay there, right on the top of this pass, all rugged and rough around me. I couldn't stay there. I had to press on again. And so I was thankful for what I'd seen, but I knew that the way I'd got to walk, nobody was going to carry me. I'd got to walk. I was walking this way. And you know, one of the things I'd completely forgotten from the first time I did the walk to this later time, I'd forgotten anything about going down the other side of the path. I suppose in my vague memory I thought it was easier than going up. You know, it wasn't. It seemed far more difficult, actually, than any track I'd been on. It was so steep, and it was loose rocks, and it was really quite dangerous. Sometimes, you know, in the pathway to heaven, we meet with very difficult and very dangerous situations. And anyone who has done much walking on high hills will know that actually coming down is quite as exhausting as going up. But when you're going up, you're testing your lungs. When you're coming down, it's the muscles in the back of your legs that really are affected. And it was a struggle to get down. And I heard a friend say on the phone only yesterday about his wife, "I'm afraid she's going down." So going down is a picture of something else in our life, isn't it? We realize we've reached the peak of our energy and strength, or at least we're vaguely aware of it. We certainly get to know quite quickly that we're going down. We're going down in strength. We're going down in mental ability. We're going down. And I wondered what lesson I could draw from that. It was a very obviously vivid reality to me at the time. And I didn't think much of anything else at the time, but just to get down safely. Well, James in his epistle, chapter 1, verse 3, says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith worketh patience. Was I on the right way? Would I get down safely? There are many questions that flood into your mind sometimes when in the spiritual journey things are so testing, so difficult. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. And what I had to do going down was to just take very short steps and do it very carefully. Make sure that where I put my feet it wasn't a loose rock and so on. You have to walk with a sensitive awareness of the fact that there are dangers. And we do need that in the spiritual life. If we are walking to heaven, it's not always going to be a nice, smooth, easy way. We walk by faith, and the faith can be tested, and it can seem to us to be getting weaker rather than stronger. The trying of your faith. Well, then I thought to myself, if I get down this piece safely, there's a long stretch then that's not so steep, it'll be easier. And so I stopped, suitable place. I had my picnic, as you do when you're out walking like that, a drink and a bite to eat, and I rested. Another lesson. Psalm 37, verse 7. "Rest in the Lord." And friends, on the way, on the walk to heaven, you will need times of rest. Don't punish yourself for feeling you need a rest. If you need a rest, you must have a rest. That's what holidays are really for, isn't it? You need times of rest, times when you can do something else, times when you can think of other things, and not feel under the same kind of pressure. Well, I was beginning to relax a bit on the way down. As I said a moment ago, the way down is not always easy. Of course, I had to get up, pack my bag, and start walking again. And it wasn't long before I had to learn another lesson. Because I'd been weakened by all the struggle I'd had to get over the pass and down the rocks, and I found that my legs were not as careful as they should have been, and I stumbled and fell. Well, mercifully, by this time I was in a field of heather, so there was nice soft heather on either side of the path, and I didn't hurt myself, but I had to get up feeling rather ashamed of myself, only to do it again a few minutes later. You know, I'm speaking now to those who are older particularly. The later stages of the walk gets more difficult because there are various natural medical problems you have to face. And it's not easy. It can give you a sense of failure, or a sense of frustration, a sense of disappointment, various emotions as you realize that things are closing in on you. I thought of Psalm 71, verse 9, where the psalmist says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Well, perhaps the young ones here have never felt like that, but I'm sure older ones have. And we need to be reminded, don't we, of the certainties of the promises that God has given to us. "I will never fail thee," he says, "nor forsake thee." But there are times when you can feel, as the psalmist did feel, forsaken. And I believe the devil knows when we are low in spirit, and he can come and torment us viciously when we're in that state of spiritual lowness. I hesitate to use the word depression, because I don't think it's like that really, but it's, you're just low and things are not right, and you may have had a fall, you may have given way. My legs gave way and I had a fall, but in a spiritual sense you may have given way to a temptation. You may have been plagued by a repeated temptation and fall again. And the danger then is to be saying, "Oh Lord, can it be that I could be forgiven? I failed twice in exactly the same way." God is gracious, mercifully gracious, and patient with us. He's ready to forgive. And we walk by faith. Well, when my wife Kathleen had left me at the beginning of the walk, and by that time in life I'd got a mobile phone, and I said to her, "Well, I'll give you a ring when I'm getting near the end and you can come and pick me up." And she was obviously very willing to do that. And she was sitting there in the holiday home we had, wondering why it was taking so long. And the reason was that I was walking along a very long valley between two ranges of mountain. And of course you don't get a mobile signal when you're walking in Scottish valleys. And so I tried to ring and I got no signal and I tried again. I don't know how many times I tried, but I kept on walking because I knew there was no other way but to carry on. She wasn't going to be able to drive the car up the path to meet me anyway, so I got to get to the end. And it's like that in the walk of faith toward heaven, isn't it? You may see the prospect ahead of you, and you pray to the Lord. Again, I thought of Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, a book of great sadness in many ways. He says, "When I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer." Well, it's a poor sort of illustration, but you know what I mean. When you can't get a signal on the mobile, you can't contact anybody, can you? And spiritually, when you're in a weak, tired state, it may be that you feel you can't pray. What did I do? I just walked a little bit further, tried again, and walked a little bit further and tried again. And that's what you have to do spiritually, isn't it? You have to press on and try again. Keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Another lesson to learn in the way to heaven. Pray without ceasing. So I get to the end of that particular walk. I learned what people meant when they said I was so tired I didn't know how to put one foot in front of the other. And by that time I can tell you that's exactly how I felt. I just didn't know. I just struggled to take the next step. Until eventually I got out on the road where my wife was going to come and pick me up. I just sat by the side of the road and I had a signal on my mobile and only one signal. It was very weak, but it was enough to get the message through that I needed picking up. And, well, of course I was taken home safely. Some of you can already interpret what I'm going to say, can't you? I was taken home safely. I was tired out, I was worn out, but I got back to our holiday home safely. I wonder what you would have thought of if you'd been thinking along lines like that. Well, I'll tell you what I thought of. When I was thinking back over it this last week, I thought of the way Jesus came to his disciples. And he said to them in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, "Let not your heart be troubled." Mine had been. Not only on the walk, but in other ways many times since, my heart has been troubled. I needed the reminder, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and this was the thought that came into my mind. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's home. When he does that, you're home. You're home and safe. You're home and safe forever. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, the illustration is poor, but I think the lessons it has taught me were valuable, and it certainly re-emphasized to me the fact that in this way to heaven we walk by faith, not by sight. Have you ever seen a blind person with a guide dog? It's another little illustration. It wasn't one I saw on my walk, of course. It was one I've seen many times around the town and other places. And there's the dog, there's the lead, and the person who has the guide dog has been taught, the dog has been taught, and they're walking along at a good pace, really. And the blind person has implicit trust in the dog that's leading him or her. They walk confidently because there is such a sense of trust between the blind person and the guide dog. Again, it's a very simple illustration, but isn't that the way we are to walk? We are to walk by faith with implicit trust in the one who is guiding us, confident of the one who is guiding us. We walk by faith. We haven't seen heaven yet. We've heard about it, we've been told about it. We know much about it, but the reality of it we haven't seen. I haven't anyway. I've never been caught up into heaven like Paul was. But I've read about it. I know what Paul himself has been teaching about it. But I haven't seen it. I know I have a God, and God is my Father, but I haven't seen him. I know there was a time when the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, was manifest in the flesh, but I wasn't there, so I didn't see him. And I believe that God has given to me and to every true believer the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to abide with you. But I've never seen the Holy Spirit. Oh, I've seen much of what God has done. I see many evidences of the presence of the Lord in people's lives, but I've never seen. I don't even have a vision. I claim no such thing. We walk by faith, not by sight, but we walk. And we get there because we walk by faith. Amen.